and I believe it's a crowd that does. Let's run to the Gospels, the Gospel of John, and we'll look at chapter number 16, the chapter number 16, and we are continuing our study on the lessons, amen, or life's challenges. I've got three other sermons that I preached for the first time last week during revival, and hopefully the Lord give me an opportunity to preach those two at some point. But one is titled Troubles of the Heart, and we do have troubles of the heart or heart trouble. Another sermon I preached last week was What to Do When God Says No. Amen. Sometimes he says no. It ain't always yes. And another sermon I preached last week for the first time was Committed to Commitment. Amen. And so I'm going to preach those at some point when God gives me liberty. But this morning, we're going to look at the Gospel of John, and we're going to run over to chapter number 16 and drop down to verse 32. And let's all stand, we'll read, we'll pray, and we'll see what the Master has for lunch. Amen. Today, that's the Gospel of John, chapter number 16 and verse number 32. I'm excited to be back home. Praise the Lord. And we did have a good week last week. I was able to visit some folks that was going through some tough times, and so continue to pray for those. I posted some of that on Facebook. A friend of mine needs a new heart. Pray for him. He can't leave the hospital until he gets a new heart. So you make sure you do remember to pray for him. Although the Bible says, though, in verse number 32 of chapter number 16, this came from you guys, these messages that we're putting together. The Bible says, and what's on verse 31? Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Jesus says, the hour is coming when y'all gonna take off and run. But then he says, "I shall be alone. Yet I'm not alone." Now I want to talk to this morning, this little thought, when we feel alone. Father, I pray today for help. I pray for guidance. I pray for fresh anointing. I pray, God, you forgive me of any sins in my life that will hinder you from using my vessel. I pray, God, you scrub me very thoroughly. And I pray, God, you wash me inwardly and outwardly and make me pliable for your honor, for your glory, for your usage. And for that, Father, I'll thank you. Then I pray, God, that you let the word of God become alive to us this morning. I pray, God, it pierce, penetrate. I pray, God, it sink down deep inside of us. And I pray, God, it spring up and grow and cause great things to take place in each of our lives. I pray, God, for every family that's represented here this morning and those who are watching this morning. I pray, God, that you put your blessings upon each of them. And I pray, God, that you answer the requests that they have been bringing forth to you these last days. For that, Father, we'll thank you. I pray, God, to help me this morning to preach your word. I pray, God, when we leave today, we'll realize, God, that even when we feel alone, we're not alone. I pray, God, to help someone that might be in this spot, this area, this battle, or this dogfight. But I pray, God, today, they leave much encouraged because of the Holy Spirit's presence. And then, God, there's one among us who's not saved, blood bought, and born again. I pray, God, this will be that day they receive Jesus, yes, sir, as Lord, Savior, and King. And for that, God, we'll pray to help somebody. And, Master, would you please start with me? That's it for now. If I left anything out, yes, sir, meet that great need as well. By the way, name just came to my mind. I can't mention it, but I do pray for that individual. I pray, God, you bring rescue in their life. And I pray, God, you rescue them before death comes their way. With that, God, we'll thank you. Please, I beg you that wherever they are, pray, God, you protect them and draw them nearer to you. And we'll praise your name for that, Father. Please, sir. Now, it's in your son's name we pray. Jesus, amen. Amen. May be seated. When, notice I didn't say if, but when we feel alone. The question was asked that was sent to me through the request from you guys was simply stated this way: when you feel like you are alone, but being able to open up to others. Or sometimes when you feel alone, you don't feel like you can open up to others. Amen. Because then they might make you feel even that much more lonelier. Amen. Because of the response that you might receive from that person. That word alone means to be separate. It means to be apart. It also means to be isolated from others. And there are times in our lives we feel like we're isolated from others. Like we're all alone. We're all by ourselves. Like no one is concerned. Nobody cares. Even here in this verse, Jesus says, hey, the time is coming when y'all gonna scatter. Y'all gonna scatter because of problems, because of pressure. And he says this, that you are gonna leave me what? Alone. You're going to leave me all by myself. But Jesus, not the only person that was left alone. There were folks in the Bible who also felt like they were all alone. You look with me over to Psalm. We'll come back in a few moments. But look at Psalm 25 and verse number 16. And if you're here this morning, I'm sure there are folks who have felt like you're all alone, like you're all by yourself. I felt that way myself. Look what the psalmist David says here in verse 16 of Psalm 25. David says this in verse 16. He says, turn, watch this, turn thee unto me. Have mercy upon me, for I am what? Desolate and afflicted. That word desolate here in this verse, it means also lonely, alone. David said, King David, David says in this verse, in this song, he says, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate, I am alone, and on top of that, what? Afflicted. That word afflicted here in this verse means depressed in mind or circumstances. This is what David says. David says, I feel alone. I feel by myself. On top of that, I'm afflicted, or I find myself in depression, inwardly, or even my circumstances. I am depressed because of what's happening around me and to me. That's King David. The man after God's own heart. That's King David. Who slew the mighty Goliath. That's King David, my dear friends. Who conquered many nations and many people. But yet in this verse, David says, Lord, I need you to turn to me. Turn in my direction. Because I am what? I am desolate. I'm lonely. I'm alone. And now I find myself even depressed. But not only David. Jeremiah felt that way too. Look at Jeremiah 15. And look at verse 16. And watch. Now this is going to surprise you here. Watch what Jeremiah says in chapter 15, verse 16. Here is Jeremiah, prophet of God. He's often called the weeping prophet. But watch what he says in verse 16. He says this. Watch this. He says, thy words were found. That's the good thing. Thy words were found. And I did eat them. I gobbled it up. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. That's good stuff. He said, man, the word of God was found. I ate it up. I felt joyous. Woo, this is great. Hold on. Verse 17. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. There's a folks that didn't like the fact that Jeremiah was excited. And Jeremiah said, I didn't sit with the mockers nor rejoice. He said, I sat what? I sat alone. Because of thy hand. For thou hast filled me with indignation. Well, it's because of you. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Watch this. Wilt thou be altogether unto, oh my goodness, unto me as a liar and as words that fail? Jeremiah, have you lost your mind? But Jeremiah is talking to God. And Jeremiah said, man, I found the word. I was excited. I was rejoiced. But then folks started mocking me. I didn't even sit with them. I sat by myself. Now I'm alone. And now on top of that, God, I'm in pain. Perpetual pain. And that word perpetual, it also means continual, but also means strength. That means these pains are growing. And that word pain means mental and physical. He goes on to say, and my wound is incurable, which refuses to be healed. And then he says to God, wilt thou be altogether to me as a liar, as a war that falls? God, you lying to me? This is how Jeremiah feels. I have no doubt in my mind. There are folks who have also felt the same way, but would not utter these words from their lips. God, you said in the word of God, in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, you said, casting all my cares upon you because you care for me. Well, I threw them your direction, but it seemed like it was a boomerang and it came back. You said in Matthew chapter 11, and I believe verse 28, you said, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, God, I came to the house of God. I came to you in prayer. I called upon your name, but Lord, I ain't found for refreshing. I still feel alone. There are times we feel alone. And these are great men of God, prophets and kings, but they felt alone. And sometimes you can be in a crowd of people and still feel alone. What's the reasons for feeling alone? Let me give you a few. One reason we feel alone sometimes is because we've been rejected by others. What do you mean? Lied to, being made fun of, being abandoned by family or friends, told you're no good, don't want you around. These things, my dear friends, can make a person feel alone. I'm rejected by family. I'm rejected by friends. I'm rejected by those who I thought cared about me. I've been lied to. I've been talked about. I've been all kinds of things. And it causes me to feel alone. What is this? There's another reason, too. Being unable to fit in. One writer put it like this, it's like a black pearl in a box of shining jewels. You stand out, you stick out, and because of that, nobody wants to be around you. You just don't fit in. I mean, you're trying out for sports, and they don't really like you. And you went over here and cheerleading or whatever, and me went to the test club, and then they did this. And they said, what is this? I don't fit anywhere! I remember when I first got back in church and we went to a funeral down in Alabama, and I was 23 years old, and I remember that I went to the funeral for my uncle and I didn't fit in. What do you mean you didn't fit in? Well, all my cousins that were my age, well, last time I had been there, we had been down to the club and I got kicked out and stuff and been drinking and partying and stuff. And now I'm in church and I'm coming from a funeral. And y'all know how it is with certain families. You know, you come back from the funeral, then you have one crowd outside. You know, they're drinking beer and wine or whatever. And then you got the older people, they're inside the house and with the kids and stuff. And I remember going with my cousins and stuff. But I didn't fit in over here because I didn't drink anymore. That wasn't my lifestyle anymore. And I walked inside the house, and then there was all these old people. I never forget it. I remember walking outside and leaning by the car. And we got married by that time. This is early in there. We just got married. And I remember leaning by the car, and I had tears in my eyes. And Jolene walked outside and said, what's wrong? I said, I don't fit anywhere. I think I don't fit in. And I was sad. And sometimes you feel like you just don't fit in, no matter where you are. And that makes you feel alone. But not only that, also a broken heart or missing someone. In other words, when relationships end, and there's oftentimes a feeling of intense loneliness with all of us to have a special person that's close to us. But when that person goes away or our heart has been broken, then we feel alone. Oftentimes that happens in a marriage. A person could be married for 10 years or 5 years or 20 years. And then one spouse wakes up one morning and says, well, I'm out of here. I'm gone. And they leave. And then you say, wait a minute. What? And even though you have friends and relatives say, hey, we love you. We care about you. Now, they'll be on Facebook. They'll inbox you and say how much. But you know what? This person's walked out your life. And because that person's walked out your life, you now feel alone. We've all felt those types of loneliness. And it might not be in a relationship like that. It could be a close friend. I mean, you started going to church and trying to serve God. And y'all go all the way back to kindergarten. But now, they've broken off the relationship. And you feel alone. But not only that, something called social phobia. Social phobia is a belief that when they are with other people, they are being judged negatively. They don't seek out social activities because they believe that they will embarrass themselves or be or criticized by others. It's called social phobia. And when you're like that, well, you withdraw from everybody and you feel alone. But not only that, also negativity. What do you mean by negativity? Somebody walks up to you and they say, good morning. Your response is, yeah, I guess, in a monotone voice. What you don't realize is that it radiates and it causes people. People try to get close to you, but there's so much negativity coming from you. And they try to get close to you, but because of all the negativity, they're like, well, you know, let me go over here. And now you feel like people don't even care about you. Don't even. But it's because of the negativity that you're throwing off. That's why you feel alone. You ever tried to get close to a person, but every time you're around them, it's all negative. It's all down. And then they say, nobody don't care about me. Well, people actually do, but because of the negativity, they withdraw from you. And what makes you feel alone. And there's so many others. There's one that's called high sensitive temperament. That means they take everything personally. Highly sensitive. You've met people like that. But here's one. Unrealistic expectations. What do you mean? Of friendships. Well, I text you 10 times. You ain't text me back yet. You don't care about me. Well, not so much they don't care about you, but you know, we're all busy. I mean, I get inboxes sometimes from people that, you know, they say, hello. But I'm in the middle of something. I mean, if I say hello, this is some people I don't even know. You know, anyhow. But if I know, I got a feel if I say hello, then this hello will go along. I'm like, but I'm in the midst of doing something. And then you don't respond. And they say, well, unfriend you. Some of y'all, let's kind of break this down a little bit. Some of y'all know you can text a person, you can inbox a person, in some of the most normally inconvenient times if you were to talk with them verbally. Okay. If you was in a restroom, you wouldn't be talking to somebody, okay? But you can text them and you can inbox. Okay, that make it plain for you right there. Okay. I'm not going to talk to nobody while I'm using, some of y'all might, but I'm not doing that. Okay. But I can text you. I can inbox you. But sometimes my dear friends, if you're driving your car, you're in the meeting, whatever case it might be, but that person might be saying, you know what? They're not my friend. I've been texting them all day, but then they may have family. They may have jobs. They may be doing other things. But you're feeling alone, but it's not that they don't want to be around you, but they got other stuff that's going on. But that can't make you feel alone. You say, preacher, we all feel alone now. Well, let me give you the remedy for feeling alone. Go back to John chapter 16 and verse 32. Let me give you a partial remedy. Jesus said in verse 31, do you know, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, hold on, I am not alone. Because the Father is what? With me. Jesus says, you know, all y'all gonna scatter. But yet, I'm not alone. I'm not by myself. The Father is with me. He said, well, that was Jesus. Hold on. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 15. One of many verses. The Bible says this in Hebrews 13 verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will what? Never leave thee, nor forsake thee. God says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. That tells my dear friends, I'm never alone. I might feel alone, but reality is this. I'm not alone. So what's the remedy? Remember that you're not alone. Remember that you're not by yourself. Remember, my dear friends, there is somebody that's with you every step of the way. And there's God Almighty, the Holy Ghost, that lives on the inside, as well as Jesus said, I will never leave thee as well, nor forsake you, but I'm with you always, even unto the end. So I see, could you give another verse? Sure. Look at Psalm 68 and verse 6. Psalm 68 and verse 6. When you feel alone, remember, you're not alone. That means go to God. Seek the word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 68 and verse 6, the psalmist says here, God, this is good, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Let's look at this. Here's God setteth or seats the solitary, and that word solitary also means the lonely in what? Don't be afraid, say that word. Families. In other words, when you and I go to God, God knows how to pick us up, my friends, and set us in a family. Set us in a home. In other words, set us around some people that will also help us to feel like we're not by ourselves and we're not alone. But we must go to God first. But most of the time, we're going to people first. I feel alone, so I'm going to go. Could you be my friend, please? He's like, get up off me. But what if I go to God first? Then God taps on him. Then he seeks me out to be a part. When we lived in Georgia, we had no blood relatives. But there were folks in the church that treat us like family. I remember Grady and Susan. Grady got saved and Susan got right with the Lord. And we would go to their house every Christmas. Christmas Eve, I believe it was. It was Christmas Eve. We'd go to their house and we'd spend time with them because they had no family there either. You know what God did? God brought us together. So we would not feel alone. God knows how to pick us up, my friends, and set us in a family. But that's when we come to God first. Look what he says here. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound, which are prisoners with chains. What's holding you back to feel alone? But watch this. But the rebellious dwell where? In the dry land. That word rebellious, don't get mad at me, means stubborn. Okay, what does that got to do with anything? Well, if God says somebody being stubborn, that means apparently he's telling somebody to do something. And somebody not willing to do it. So that's why they're still in the dry land. In other words, whatever God's telling you to do, do it. And you'll find yourself amongst friends. Amongst family, you'll find yourself not feeling alone. Lang, I ain't doing that. You feel alone? Just break it down. Ladies are having a meeting. Oh, Lord. The men are having a meeting. Teens getting together. High class. Calvary kids. Tuesday midweek service. Sunday evening. Oh! Wait a minute. I thought you were lonely. I thought you felt alone. The Bible says over in, it's in Proverbs, I believe, where it says a person that have friends must show himself friendly. Yeah, where is that at, somebody? We need to read that. Somebody needs that. I need to reread it, too. I think, I want to say it's in is it in Psalm? It might be in Proverbs. Proverbs? Where's that? You got it? Proverbs 18:24. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. Don't get mad at me. Look at Proverbs 18, verse number 24. The Bible says, I ain't getting to do this. The Bible says, a man that hath what? Friends. He didn't say ought to. Must. Ooh. Show. Himself. Friendly. Do you show? Not y'all, but them other folks. Them other folks show themselves friendly? You want a friend? Be friendly. Don't walk around with a mean mugging people all the time. You know. You're like this, you know. People say you come like this. Run. No, but show yourself friendly. Be a friend to somebody. The Bible is very clear. The Bible says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that's even closer than a brother. Now, we always equate that with Jesus, and that's true. But this verse is not talking about Jesus. There are some of us that have friends that are closer than our own relatives. That's a proverb. My dear friends, it's a principle. Do you feel lonely? Then you do this. You go to God. And God will pick you up and set you somewhere amongst those that you'll feel like family. But if you be stubborn, he says in that verse, you'll be in the dry land. A dry land is a place where there's no moisture. None whatsoever. Watch this. Run with me to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Look at verse number 17. Psalm 94 and verse number 17. Look what the psalmist says in this verse. Psalm 94 verse 17. The psalmist says, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in what? Silence. That means to reside in silence. That means to be what? Alone. Listen, when you and I feel alone, we don't have to continue to feel alone. There are people that love and care for us. But oftentimes there's certain reasons. And that's how you get to the root of a problem, is find out the reason. The reason. Why? Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel alone? Is it because I feel abandoned? Because sometimes if you've had a parent that's left you, or a mother or father or relative that's left you, or you had to grow up in a family that you don't even know who these people are, a lot of times then that person goes throughout life feeling alone. Like nobody really cares. There's many reasons, but we need to ask God, first of all, God, show me the reason. Why do I feel alone? Why do I feel like I'm all by myself? Once again, what we're doing, we're going to God. And God will not only show us the reason, but also God will give us the remedy if we feel alone. And believe it or not, feeling alone is one of life's challenges. There are many people that we encounter that are laughing and smiling on the outside, but on the inside, they feel alone. There's a lot of husbands and wives that walk down the street together, driving a car together. But even while they're sitting there, they're saying to themselves, I feel alone. I feel like I'm by myself. But there is a God that knows how to help us when we feel alone. And he has promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Remember, you are not by yourself. When the devil comes by and tries his best to cause you, as one psalmist says, to get into that depression, being afflicted like David said. Listen, my dear friend, said, no. I'm not going to allow the enemy to pull me into depression. It's a dark place. It's a lonely place. I don't want to be in this place. And God will help us. Whether it's by him speaking the word, or whether God uses doctors, if God does do that. Well, I'm just going to say, no, just heal my... No, you know what? When Timmy was sick, what did Paul say? He said, Timmy, go get drunk. No, he did not. He said, Tim, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. You got health issues. Take this. Luke was a physician. God uses doctors and God uses nurses. God uses medicines to help us. And sometimes, my dear friends, listen, I have high blood pressure. I got to take my medicine. If not, y'all will be gathering for a funeral service, not for worship service, okay? I need to take my medication. That's why my pressure runs fine. But when I don't have my medication, y'all know what happened a year and a half ago that I was over here at, wasn't there that place? A community hospital. And I wasn't the only one, there were two other preachers there. We had a preacher's convention that night, amen. What are you saying, preacher? God knows how to help us, but we got to go to God to get the help that we need. And he will show us which route to take. Let's flip back over, we're done. Flip back over. John chapter number 16, verse 32. Jesus said these words, behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. My first question for us tonight, or this morning, is this. Are you battling feelings of loneliness? Are you battling feelings of loneliness? Secondly, do you feel even now, even right now, that praying is fruitless? You know you should pray, but you feel like this is fruitless. I've been praying. Well, the third thing is this. Let's remember
You're not alone.
Seek God first, and he will resolve the rest. But we got to seek him first. God does not want us to feel alone. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And Father, this was a question that was given from one of our brothers and sisters that are here. They might even be here this morning. I have no idea. But yeah, it was given. And Father, this is a real thing. We face, the word we includes me. We feel alone oftentimes. But I pray, God, that today we come and talk to you about those feelings of loneliness, those feelings of feeling isolated, feeling by ourselves, like we don't fit in, and whatever the other reasons may be. But I pray, Lord, we start off today by talking with you. Then, God, perhaps if some of my brothers and sisters want to come talk about something else that's on their heart and their mind. Had nothing to do with the message, but they want to talk about something else. I pray, God, they bring their petitions, their requests to you. Perhaps, God, that somebody wants to thank you. Or perhaps it's somebody that wants to pray for someone they love and care for that's in a battle, but they want to intercede on their behalf. God, whatever the needs are, this is the time to respond and then listen to what you have to say. Help us, for it's in your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.